Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. Is on the program today, the topic is higher education. Paulinos has the rundown.
Sam, today we're going to be talking to Chancellor Dan Quaich about how the university system can better partner with business.
And coming upon the Power Pundit panel today, John Galtney, Bill Uffelman, and Warren Hardy. Talk on up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always pleased to welcome back to the program Dan Quaich. He is the Chancellor at the Nevada System of Higher Education. Welcome, sir.
Morning, Sam. Morning, Paul.
Chancellor, good to see you.
Great to be here.
We've been seeing this for the last few years, talking about the student loan bubble, how there's $1 trillion in student loans out there, and it's contributing to this lost generation. And I think about who we are educating and what we're educating them in. What are we doing as far as the higher education system here in Nevada to encourage entrepreneurship, people who are going to create jobs, as opposed to overeducated baristas?
Wow. Okay. I actually think that's a really legitimate question. And I think it's a question that higher ed deserves to be brought to task on. But I think there's a balance. I think we have an obligation in higher education to produce men and women who have critical thinking skills. We're not just polytechnic institutes cranking out widgets. On the other hand, I think we've got an obligation to the state of Nevada to align our goals with the economic development and diversification goals of the state, to understand what kind of jobs we need here in this state, and to prepare men and women, whether they're just out of high school or coming back and getting retrained because of this horrible recession, to get a job where they can earn an honest, respectable living. Now, you also brought up student loans. I think we've got an obligation to be careful stewards of the taxpayers' money. I think that means we have to be transparent and we have to be accountable. I think we're doing a pretty good job of that personally. But to push students out of the system without the degree they came to get, without the skills to get a job, and with debt is stealing their money and stealing their dreams. And I think that is the worst thing we can do. So you ask a good question, and I think I think it's really not a question. I think it's an opinion with which I agree in great part.
Well, I think there's a question in there, too, because I have a good friend right now. He's getting his MBA, and he's telling me he's writing 20-page papers at a clip. And I'm thinking, in the real world, you know, an MBA, who the hell's reading 20 pages? You know, you want a two-page executive summary at best. And I'm just wondering if what we're requiring from our students is really corresponding to what we want from people in the real world.
I guess this has something to do with the speed that the world is moving today, and a big difference from your generation to mine. One of the things that I think we do need to do better is I think we need to partner with business better. And I think business needs to partner with us better.
Difficult, Chancellor. It is so difficult.
To get that partnership going?
Yes. Milk Glick.
But we've got to start it, Sam.
Milk Glick did. And it was interesting, the pushback toward business from the university system was really quite astonishing to me and sad, because with a great heart, that was what President Glick was trying to do, and he couldn't understand that there is this barrier that people come in, and it's almost, and I apologize, I'm not blaming you, I'm just saying it's almost like it's a closed society, and I'm talking specifically about UNR, where you come in, and I've been trying to do this as a businessman and using this program and our nonprofit to be able to extend what we're doing to give to the university system and to K-12, and it is so hard.
Oh, I understand. I mean, we're a very risk-averse and change-averse system. We don't like to change. I get that. But that doesn't mean we don't have to, and we can't stop pushing for change. And
so how does that happen?
But, okay, getting back to the business point, and you talked about papers. Well, papers are part of how you advance in the educational system, what you're supposed to do. Why can't advancement and promotion and decisions like that be built also upon partnerships with business, internship programs, apprenticeships, mentoring? Those go both ways. Not only do they get our students real life experience that will help them in their jobs, but they get businesses a free look at the students and a basic recruiting tool while they're getting essentially free labor. Why don't we do more of that?
Well, partly because when private businesses, and I can say this as an example, or at least through our nonprofit, that when we've tried to do that, we get a cursory, yes, that sounds great, we'd like to do it, and then there is no follow-up.
Has to change.
And that's something, and I would love to off the air work with you on that. I want to change the topic here because we've gotten emails, and knowing that you're going to be on the program, and one of them said, you have told university and college presidents not to comment on the new funding formula. If and when will you lift it?
You know, that is such baloney.
No gag order.
There is no gag order. Let me tell you what there is, though. We had an interim committee of the legislature hold 15 meetings, 40 hours of public meetings over 11 months, and Board of Regent meetings every day for a year and a half. Not every day, but every meeting for a year and a half discussed this formula. The Board of Regents then voted on the formula. And what I've said to the presidents as officers of the board has made a decision. It's our job as officers of the board to support that decision. I don't understand what's so remarkable about that. If they feel that they can't support the board, which they're contractually obligated to do, which I'm contractually obligated to do, resign. But you don't get to make your case, have your board of directors approve your case, and then dispute it. So I've got no problem with the position I've taken on this.
All right, more with Chancellor Klates when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to nevadanewsmakers.com.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Everything in our lives is happening faster. But instead of just keeping up, NV Energy plans ahead so that Nevada families have the energy they need now and well into the future.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shadd.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dan Klate. He is the Chancellor of the Nevada System of Higher Education. Okay, another email said, if you put in this new funding system for the university system and don't hold harmless Western Nevada College, some administrators said that before the comment ban that they fear it will be the end of satellite campuses for higher ed for rural areas.
Well, let me say this. I've been real honest with the rural colleges that the business models that they currently employ are going to have to change under this new formula. So to the extent that's part of the question, I agree. We will have to change the way we do business.
Is there one that's doing it better than the others?
Well, I think that the time of small colleges in every town in Nevada is beyond our means. And I believe that we're going to have to share services, look to technology, have hybrid classes.
And we said that, and that's what drives me crazy. When I was going to college, and that was a long time ago,
not so long.
We had a TV, a video link in every classroom, so you could have classes in Elko and Winnemuck. I mean, they were talking about we can broadcast to 15 campuses across the state. I mean, that's something that we should be doing. Why aren't we taking advantage
of
that?
Let's not start with the fact that we're not doing it. We recently had our e-learning alternatives here in Nevada reviewed by an outside consultant, and we're really doing a pretty good job of that, but we could do better. Part of it also is shared services. Maybe every independent college can't have every single service on their campus. We've got to share it and become more efficient.
What are the services we're talking about?
Well,
because
we talk about
education and classes, and that's what I think about.
Payroll. They could be like payroll. We have two payroll systems. They could be HR offices. They could be shared businesses, shared purchasing. All these things that we could do on a system-wide basis that would otherwise cut the costs and drop costs back into the classroom. I think all those things, and those are things that we didn't do in the go-go growing years.
Let me change topics on you. The new stadium project that you've talked about is perhaps one of the greatest achievements if it comes off in your career. It got blown up in terms of Ed Roskey, who built the Staples Center, who was prepared to contribute hundreds of millions of dollars towards this project. Blown out, and it doesn't appear to be any real good explanation of why he was blown out, and yet the university system will still need great financial backing to be able to make this go forward, and it's a wonderful project. Why was he blown out?
Well, that's not for me to talk about, Sam. You're going to have Neil Smotrisk on the program, and you and Paul can grill him on that. What I can tell you, though, is I think that project will move forward, and I think that that project, under the leadership of the Speaker in this session, will create an authority that will bring all the stakeholders to the table to plan that project in the way that's best for UNLV, Southern Nevada, and all of Nevada. Some of these things, Don Snyder has a saying that all great deals fall off the tracks two or three times before they get there. It took him almost two decades to build the Smith Center, and look how proud we are of that.
But was
building.
It just the fact that major gaming companies did not want to see the company that owns Silverton and the Staples Center be the major player here, that it's such a good idea and it's such a good investment that they want to be a part of it rather than having potentially, I hate to say an outsider, but an outsider?
Well, I think there was a concern that the stakeholder base in the project was not broad enough. And I think there was some concern about the basic function of the project itself, and I think ultimately the decision was that we needed to move more slowly on this at this time.
So it was more competitive to the other arenas that are operating in?
No, I don't think so. I really don't think so, because if you look at the size of this venue and the events that it will cater to, it really is not in competition with the 20,000-seat venue. We're talking about a 50,000-seat venue that has very different events than MGM Gardens or any of those events.
Do you think that you will end up getting that funding? Because you're going to need a huge amount of funding from the other casino companies that are the more major players in Las Vegas?
Here's the critical point. I don't think any major arena has been built in the United States that doesn't have a significant public funding element. And I think that's going to be the case with this arena if it gets built. And I think that's why there are those concerned with how that takes place. Is it a special tax district? Is it a broader tax on the industry? And I think people wanted to step back, take a look at that.
More to come. Thank you so much, Chancellor. We always appreciate you being here. Come back before the end of the session, okay?
Great to be.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Come to Consigned Furniture and register for the $1,500 Mother's Day Room Giveaway. Winner pick May 11th, 12 p.m. at Consigned Furniture. Don't miss your chance to win.
Some people say personal injury claims are all about the money. Well, they're right. It is about the money to help salvage a decent life caused by another person's carelessness.
Go lightly in Vanna, 222-3333.
Only at Home Solutions at Ace. A whole collection of all-new recliner pedic recliners from Southern Motion with the same memory foam found in brand-name mattresses and starting at just $399 and all American-made, like most of our furniture. What's more, Home Solutions at Ace is the ultimate custom furniture dealer in Northern Nevada. Pick your wood, pick your finish, pick your fabric. Heck, bring in your design and we'll work with you to create whatever you have in mind. It's all here and more at your locally owned Home Solutions at Ace, the hardware store that contains an entire furniture center.
News 4's Fact Finder team, winner of the Edward R. Murrow Award and now nominated for an Emmy. Our Silver State Secret stories shed light on legal loopholes and government secrets. News 4, your home for investigative journalism in Northern Nevada and the Sierra. News 4's Joe Hart, working for you.
Getting answers to the questions you ask the most.
Submit your questions to jhart@mynews4.com. And remember to put Ask Joe in the subject line. Ask Joe, weeknights on News 4 at 6. Watch Jen Wall, weekdays on News 4.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPundit panel. As always, John Galtney is here, President Emeritus of Truckee Meadows Community College. Bill Uffelman is President of the Nevada Bankers Association. And Warren Hardy, former state senator and principal with Hardy Consulting. So, Paul, the entertainment tax bill dropped yesterday. Any surprises in there?
Well, I think there were some surprises. I mean, everybody expected to see some cleanup of the loopholes with the live entertainment tax. There was talk that movies weren't going to be in there. Movies are in. included. Gym memberships are included. So, I mean, I think those are some of the surprises, and it does give people who are opposed to it a lot of fodder. So I think that we're going to hear a lot about that tax in the next few days and about who's in and who's out. And, you know, should you, as some people are saying, should you tax family fun?
Warren?
Yeah, no, I'm not that surprised. I mean, that's sort of the MO. You start out with the big picture, and although, as Paul points out, that the downside of that is it draws out the opposition significantly. I think the headline from the story, though, is that I think the governor has said he's not going to support it, which makes it problematic. I think the Republicans have always supported some sort of a loophole close, but I believe it goes beyond that. This bill does.
Okay, now, in the sense of, you know, we have these huge events that are not taxed, like Burning Man and the Electric Daisy Carnival, doesn't it make sense to draw on this? But at the same time, as the speaker said, we're talking about $50 million here, which is not inconsequential, but it's not a huge amount either, Bill.
I think in some respects is who's being taxed. Is it a visitor to the state of Nevada, or is it in fact a Nevadan? And so much of the entertainment tax actually gets applied to non-Nevadans. You know, it's kind of a no harm, no foul. And thank you for your contribution. So it's, you know, there are rational things about the entertainment tax.
You know, John, whenever I hear that, and especially when it comes to rental cars, that it's the tourists that are paying, and when I make my trips to Las Vegas and I'm renting a car, suddenly I feel like maybe I'm not a tourist, this is my state.
Well, I have a tendency to say if you slow down or reduce the attendance at a lot of these functions, then you have reduced the tax.
But I don't think you're going to. I mean, you look at the cost of going to the movies, you look at the cost of going to Burning Man or Electric Daisy Carnival. These are high-priced tickets to begin with, and then when they sell out, they go on the black market, and they're even higher. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's going to be a detriment.
Well, I mean, but I think don't you think there is a difference, though, between, you know, Burning Man and Electric Daisy Carnival and, you know, movie or a gym membership? I mean, you know, I think there is a distinction to be made there, and I think that's where the crux of the argument is going to come down, you know, and we start looking at where you get consensus.
Right, but don't you also look at it and say, well, we're getting rid of loopholes? You know, we're going to do this across the board. Everybody's going to pay. And it's not something like food that, you know, is going to hurt the poorest. If you don't want and can't afford a gym membership, so be it. Warren?
I mean, here's the reason this might work out. I mean, you've got Speaker Kirkpatrick proposing it, who is the most policy-driven leader I think we may have ever had in this building. She's not driven by ideology. She's driven by policy. And so you're going to get to that point where you have the discussion about, does this impact residents versus tourists? Does it impact the family? And you'll whittle it down to something good. But the question is whether the governor will even support that, because you're not going to get a two-thirds majority, I wouldn't think. Not to override the veto. You might get a two-thirds majority to pass the tax, but not likely to override a veto.
Okay, unless, as Pat Hickey is asking, that there are other things that Republicans want, and I think you can address that one.
Yeah, no, I mean, I hope so. we've got some policy reforms that we'd like to see in prevailing wage and construction defect, and now they're talking about PEBs and PERS, which I dealt with in 09, as you'll remember, Sam. But that's how the process works. I think everybody acknowledges that, and so that's going to help drive that discussion, too. I just hope it's a policy discussion this time, because we've never seemed to get to that point.
Okay, Bill, of interest to you, obviously, coming up today, AB 300, technical corrections in terms of mortgage foreclosures. How far do you think you're going to get with this?
I think AB 300 is going to pass. The Attorney General, you know, worked diligently with the interested parties and has come up with a consensus bill, and it'll pass.
And what is the main thrust of this?
Well, the problem with AB 284 from 2011, the primary problem was in the affidavit that that you had to complete before you foreclosed, and it was built around personal knowledge. Unfortunately, the personal knowledge was supposed to extend to every aspect of the transaction, i.e., I was there when you signed the mortgage document, and here I am 8 years later.
But do you still have to produce the mortgage documents?
You still have to produce all the documents. You have all the document requirements, but it becomes the personal knowledge is I have reviewed the business record, and I have seen all the required pieces before I make the affidavit.
John, your thoughts on that?
You know, I'm wondering if that will affect real estate prices or slow the process down. I guess what I was thinking about was, will it dump more houses on the market quicker? And if that's the case, will that have a negative effect or a cold water effect on the economy as it expands? We've seen some rather nice jumps in housing values, and I think that's been good for the state. I'd like to see that surplus real estate. I sound like Mitt Romney in the fact, you know, let it crash. Or in my case, I'm saying don't let it crash. Be a little more careful with how quick they do this.
But that isn't even in the bank's favor, is it, at this point?
Well, that, and that's the other piece. I mean, I testified yesterday. We had an economic impact hearing, I guess is probably the thing to call it. In Las Vegas, three major servicers have something in excess of 40,000 homes at some stage of the foreclosure process. But because you couldn't, it was very difficult to foreclose in the last year and a half. A lot of that has just been stalled. Physically, you probably can't handle more than about 3,000 a month in terms of just getting it done. But once you initiate it, because we have mediation and all the other programs, you've got a tail on that. If I file a notice of default, we're probably talking 7, 8, 9, 10 months. Mortgage Bankers Association says it's taking on average 12 months to foreclose a home in Nevada. So those houses will, in effect, trickle onto the market.
Okay.
And not have an impact.
Paul, I just want to give Paul the last word on this. As somebody who's recently been in the home buying market.
Well, you know, it does take a lot of time. Bill's absolutely right. If you're in a short sale or a foreclosure, if you're looking to buy a house. But, you know, something that we noticed is that inventory, especially in certain areas of town in Reno where we live, there's no inventory there, or very little inventory. There's very few houses to buy. And I think that is right because the banks are holding on to a lot of these foreclosures. The process hasn't started. So that has driven prices up. We sold our house within 6 hours.
Stunning. That's where you got to leave it. And good luck to you. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Could you use up to $2,500 in minutes? We've got you covered. We are Dollar Loan Center, your community short-term lender. No checking account required, no application fees, and no prepayment penalties. From Sioux Falls, South Dakota to Los Angeles, California, apply at one of our 80 locations or complete your entire loan online at don'tbebroke.com.
If you've been injured in a car accident, a slip and fall, or any other life-changing calamity, how can you be sure you'll receive the best advice and help with your claim?
At Galloway & Jensen, we have the answers you want and the experience you need.
Insurance adjusters are trained to act like your friend, but they're also trained to take advantage of you.
We work for the insurance companies,
and we won't let them take advantage of you.
For your free consultation, call Galloway & Jensen today. The insurance companies have lawyers. You should too.
At Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we know you need health insurance that covers your family as they grow.
Sorry, Dad.
I'm good.
And if you don't get health insurance through work...
Are you okay?
Yeah. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers coverage your family can count on.
Whoa, slow down, Chief.
Especially parents. Whether you need basic coverage for yourself or more protection for your family, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers a variety of coverage options for different needs and budgets. If you're self-employed, retiring early, or can't get health coverage at work, call Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield today for a free quote. Call 1-800-868-0714 or visit anthemforhealth.com to compare plans and apply.
Did you get that number?
I wrote it down.
Affordable coverage from a name you can trust. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
Coming up next week, a tour of the Assembly with Assemblywoman Marilyn Dendera Loop, Michelle Fiore, Assemblyman and Majority Leader William Horn, and Assemblyman David Bobbitt.
We'll see you next.